Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a little bit after 7 o'clock. The People's Champ is in the house. The Chicago Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit chicagowolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Let's talk more Cubs. Adam, let's go. Glad that you are hanging out tonight as we talk about the Cubs and their significant news as it pertains to the Cubs, and that's that Yu Darvish is feeling pain, not soreness, but pain, according to Joe Maddon. Thoughts of him perhaps starting this weekend have been scrapped, and we'll see where this leaves the Cubs, now scrambling a little bit for some pitching. So we wanted to get the latest from our guy, our MLB insider, Bruce Levine. You can follow him on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. This hour being brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. Hey, Bruce.
Good evening, my friend. Talking about Yu Darvish, you know, the thing that I had heard always about him is that he was a wonderful pitcher, a really good teammate, but that conditions always had to be just right for him to go out there and feel good about pitching. And you don't want to say this because we don't know what another MRI is going to show, if there is a tear or something in that elbow area. And if that's the case, you know, maybe he won't be around with us for a long period of time. But when I saw him pitch and I came on your show on Monday, this guy was dealing. There was no hesitation. You know, he threw 59 pitches, 41 of them were strikes, or 42 of them were strikes. I mean, okay, it was Class A talent, but other than his two-seam fastball, all his pitches were pristine. His cadence was perfect. And, you know, afterwards he started to say, you know, well, I don't feel, you know, 100% in that arm area. I have body tiredness. You know, you're just wondering. And if you're Epstein and Hoyer right now, you're wondering, is this a pitcher that's injured or a pitcher that doesn't want to go out there unless everything is 100%?
Well, yeah, and that's an interesting thing that we're trying to find out. I say that once you hear a guy say that he's feeling pain, that usually it's rare that you get professional athletes willing to admit that, and I think more of them need to do it more often instead of trying to grind themselves through some of this stuff. You know, soreness is one thing, pain is another. I wonder, like, how do you, if you're the Cubs, what's the approach in trying to get him back now? And is this a setback that means that we're not going to see Darvish for a few more weeks at the major league level?
I don't know about weeks. I mean, it could be really months. I mean, think about this. He's already rested for 5 weeks, right? So we have a pitcher that, came out, he was having some problems, you know, with a forearm or, you know, in the elbow area. And he rested for 5 weeks. And now he came back and he threw 60 pitches three different times, one of them to a minor league team. And he had a side session, thought he had pitched through it. And then, you know, yesterday he comes out and he says, it's not feeling good. You know, today it's not good. You fly him back to Chicago, first thing you do is get him with a battery of different doctors, his doctors, your doctors, MRIs. You make sure there's not a tear in that elbow area. This is a guy that had Tommy John in 2015. So you start thinking the worst. But, you know, from the whole perspective, if it's not that he doesn't feel comfortable enough to go out there because he's not 100%, if it is an injury, you take care of it, Lawrence. And, you know, if it's if it's the same injury that he had, you can probably project that he's going to have another 5 weeks off before he starts to attempt it again. This is a valuable pitcher who's under contract for 6 years. They can't worry about the short term. They got to make sure that this guy's healthy for the long run.
For sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that they were going to maybe sit him down and for the rest of the season. But even if they don't, there's still games to be played between now and the time that Yu Darvish might be back. And I would say that it's fair and probable that we won't see him until after the All-Star break. If we do, that's great. But I feel like it's probable, considering how he felt and what he's saying, that maybe you don't see him until after then. Those starts have to be taken up. Those innings have to be eaten. And then you have to start thinking about what your team looks like in July, at the end of July, as we get closer to the trade deadline, and trying to survive August until your rosters expand in September. So how do you think this changes the calculus for the Cubs as far as what they think is important at the trade deadline?
Well, it might mean that you want to have to go after a starting pitcher rather than more bullpen help, if that's the case. I mean, innings are, you know, the number one thing. And when you have a bullpen that's pitched as much as theirs has in the first half, you want to extend out those starting pitching innings. Look back as recently as 2017, Lawrence. What was the key for the Chicago Cubs coming out of the break in 2017? They went 13-4, but the one thing that changed was you started to get a progression of more innings from the starting pitchers. They started to deal, go 6, 7, in some cases, like Lester and Hendricks into the eighth inning. This was the key for them going 13-4, taking over the lead from Milwaukee after trailing by 5.5 the All-Star break. Before the end of July, they were in first place and never looked back. So, you know, this is what you have to have. You have to have strong starting pitching in the second half. I think it might change their direction of going after, you know, an inning beater, somebody they can pick up from one of those teams that is, right now in the tank, you know, that's on pace to lose 100 ball games, and would be willing to trade a starting pitcher, a veteran starting pitcher who, for some young talent in the Cub organization. I think that's what you have to look at because, you know, Chatwood, you know, as Joe says, has great stuff, but he's averaged less than 5 innings a start. Hendricks all of a sudden becomes a problem because he's not giving you the innings that he was supposed to give you. He's giving up home runs that he never gave up before. So who are your innings eaters, on the Cub pitching staff as you look to the second half? You have to have them. You know, certainly John Lester has been magnificent. He's been great for him, just the same pitcher he was in 2016. But after that, you know, is Quintana your number two pitcher? I mean, where do you go to get those important innings? It cannot be the bullpen. It has to be the starting pitchers.
Is there any help at the minor league level? Like, just kind of looking around, it doesn't seem like it. The AAA, the Underwood came up, and I thought that all things considered, he was fine. You know, they're not asking him to go 7 or 8, although that would have been nice. I thought that after some first inning jitters, he was fine. But is there anyone down there that they feel like can help them eat innings?
No, I think he's the only one that, you know, he's liable to be back. You see some of the guys like Maples and people like that, they're bullpen guys, and they look pretty good. I mean, they've gotten more out of their bullpen guys called up from AAA than I think anybody expected. They've all been pretty good at times. So from that perspective, you know, I mean, it's not going to be Farrell. I don't think he's the guy they're looking at to be a guy that's going to solve your 6 or 7 innings. I mean, he's done a nice job here and there. He had that 5 innings in that extra inning game that saved them in the bullpen, you know, a couple weeks ago, but I don't think that's the answer there. So I think you have to go outside and into the marketplace and get yourself a veteran pitcher, you know, from a team like the Reds or a team like the Marlins or a team like the White Sox. You know, there's a guy 8.1 miles away that has given the White Sox more innings than they ever thought they would get. And he's probably pretty available for the right young player. And we're talking about James Shields.
Yeah, I feel like James Shields, or really a James Shields type probably makes the most sense for the Cubs to go out and try and put into their rotation. Talking with Bruce Levine, our MLB insider here on The Score, host Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday morning starting at 9, is around this team all the time. You brought up a guy that I'm fascinated in what's happening with him, because he's even said that something is a little bit wrong with him, and that's Kyle Hendricks. What's the struggle for Kyle Hendricks? What's been his problems in starts? I mean, we're still only talking about a guy with a 4.2 ERA, but he hasn't looked as crisp or as sharp. What's up with him?
Well, it's a fastball command, Lawrence. It's just not there. And with a guy who throws 90, 91 at his peak, you know, he has to be, you know, exact in where he throws the ball. And he's certainly been, you know, the guy, the poster child for a guy that can pitch in the major leagues without a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and be successful. But that's been predicated on the lower quadrants of the strike zone and him commanding that as well as anybody in the game. And that's just not their form right now. So, you know, his two-seam fastball is just not what it was. It's off a couple inches. When it's off a couple inches, you're pitching in a bad count. You're giving up home runs. You're giving up big hits. And you have occasional catastrophes like yesterday's game.
Yeah, it has not been good. It's unfortunate, because I've always liked Kyle Hendricks, and I have a lot of faith that he'll be able to find it. It's just when he misses, because he doesn't have the velo, when
right.
he misses, the ball gets hit a long way, because you're saying to major right. leaguers, here, destroy this 90-mile-per-hour fastball that's coming over the plate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let me give you an example. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No problem, please.
So 2 years ago, Don Cooper got together with Chris Sale and said, we're no longer a strikeout pitcher. We're a contact pitcher. And in that season, he had his best year all the way through. He averaged 7 innings a start, more than anybody in baseball that year. And the mantra was, let's get people out in 3 pitches and get a two-seamer ground out, okay? We don't have to strike everybody out. The year before, you saw him, you know, go through that record pace where he had 7 or 8 games in a row where he struck out double digits. And then by the last 7 or 8 starts of the season, he fizzled. That happened to him again in Boston last year. So my point is, a power pitcher can learn how to pitch to contact. A pitcher like Hendricks, who is a contact pitcher, can't learn how to throw 95 miles an hour. So it's got to be pinpoint control for him. He doesn't have the luxury of going the other way. So that is a dilemma for Hendricks. But as you said, smart enough, good enough, hardworking enough to get it done, and you hope that starts to happen for him. But there's been a confluence of things happening in a negative way for the Cubs, and yet they're only 2 games out of first place.
Yeah, that's the amazing and good thing for them. Is
right,
that
I mean, they're a good team. Or they are a above-average team in a below-average National League. Whatever way you choose to look at it, they have tremendous opportunity to do well and eventually step on the metal on the pedal. You got Bryant on the DL. You know, you have Hendricks going through troubles. You have Chatwood, who's away for a week. You have a myriad of different things that isn't going right for the Cubs, yet they're right there, and they're playing as good a ball as anybody. You know, again, that's a testament to all the great talent that Epstein and Hoyer have brought to this team. There's talent up and down and all around the entire team, 1 through 25. You know, if Tommy La Stella and Ian Happ are the weakest links in your team, along with Jimenez, that's a pretty damn good team.
Two guys that the people keep texting about, two injured guys, I'd like to know what you know. Drew Smyly, Eddie Butler. Is there any chance that either one of those guys could help this team at some point?
Well, Smyly, they're hoping for in early August. You know, another month of pitching here. They think that he might be available to him. They weren't counting on him for this year. That's why they signed him to a 2-year deal. But they were hoping that this is a guy that could step up and go into the rotation in August or September if somebody was hurt or if somebody had failed at what they do best. And, if you know, I've heard good reports on him. I haven't heard as much about Eddie, you know, so I can't tell you. I know that he's going to be available to him. But Smiley's the guy that, you know, had that side session about 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago. looked pretty good doing it, and they're hoping that this is a guy that's going to be available to him in August, Lawrence. Maybe they don't need to go and make a trade if they can segue this with Montgomery and, certainly Chatwood back and eventually get Smiley to go into that rotation as well as a quasi fifth or sixth starter.
Bruce, what's the latest on Chris Bryant?
Well, they hope he's going to be fine. They don't think there's really anything terribly wrong with that shoulder. This is as much a mental time off as it is physical. And they hope he's going to be back early next week. I mean, he's on schedule to come back next week, and that's the hope here. He's a Chris Bryant that I've never seen before, because I've never seen a swing like that from him. Have you, Lawrence?
No.
I've never seen an in-between swing, a defensive swing, for as consistent a period of time as we've seen it. And if it's not a serious injury and they don't believe it is, then it's all, in between the ears of what he's got to figure out with this swing. I'm as big a fan of Chris Bryant as anybody could possibly be. I believe in the makeup. I believe in the guy. But right now, the guy that really has to believe in Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant, and that is just not there right now.
Bruce, I wanted to ask you a thing that doesn't have anything to do with this year's Cubs roster, but you covered this guy's entire career, and I wanted to get your perspective. What do you think of this kind of campaigning that's going on with Sammy Sosa and him speaking with Sports Illustrated, and whether or not there can be some sort of detente between him and the Cubs?
He's got to be more respectful, Lawrence. He's got to be more respectful. When you have a comment about Ernie Banks having something that he doesn't have, and that he earned it because he hit more home runs than Ernie Banks, some people might believe that's true, but don't you have to be more respectful when you're talking about iconic people who are loved by millions of people for so many years? There's something missing there with Sammy as far as saying the right things at the right times. I think it might be frustration. I had a great relationship with Sammy during his career here. He was the only reason to go out to Wrigley Field for a good portion of 10 years. And he put a lot of money in the pockets of the Tribune Company and brought a lot of people out to the ballpark. But, if he's not willing to say what the Ricketts family want him to say, if he thinks that it's just not true and that people are forcing him to say something that he really never did, then that's your campaign. It's like, just say, look, I did the things the right way. I was never caught in a test. I was never suspended. As a matter of fact, Lawrence, they didn't have drug testing for the good portion of his career until 2003. So come out in and say, I'm proud of what I did. I don't care if the Cubs respect it or not, but I'm not going to say what they want me to say. And be done with it. There shouldn't be any campaign. If people want him to be a part of the team, as part of the franchise and be in celebrations and be somebody there, then fans should voice their opinion to Mr. Ricketts and his family. Otherwise, I just don't see this thing ever happening, really, because both sides are dug in right now from all the sourcing that I did on this, and neither one is moving.
Bruce, I really appreciate the extended visit. It was great to talk baseball with you, as always. I look forward to all the reporting that you'll have as the Cubs come home to start a three-game series against the Twins tomorrow here on The Score.
All right, Lawrence. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That's Bruce Levine. Follow him on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. So there you have it. Like, if you think that the help is going to come from Eddie Butler or Drew Smiley, I don't see it happening. Like, wasn't Smiley just starting long toss a little while ago? And Butler, like, there's almost no news on Butler. It's just strange. We're going to get into the Sammy Sosa stuff a little bit later on. But I wanted to ask Bruce about it because it's been such a interesting topic. I have some thoughts on it, too. But if we want to talk about the Cubs, Darvish, like, what do they do now? Do they do nothing now? Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
This last segment is brought to you by Aruba Tourism. In Aruba, your daily commute can be from your beach chair right to the crystal blue Caribbean Sea.
You know, I've actually heard people say that Aruba, like, that's a quick trip. Have you been?
I have not.
Okay, because you were just leaning up to the mic like...
I was just going to say, it sounds like someplace... It's a place that I think is outside the normal thinking of where you want to go on vacation. Like, I don't... Like, if you're thinking I want to go someplace tropical, it's like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii or something like that. You don't normally think like, oh, Aruba.
It's probably, what, 5.5 hours from here, too, on a plane?
Something like that, probably.
I'm guessing.
That sounds about right.
You know, it's funny, and let me just finish off by saying, it's time for an escape to sunny Aruba. Plan your Aruba vacation today at Aruba.com. I'll get back to the Cubs phone calls in just a second, but since we were talking about travel and places that you wouldn't expect to be great that end up being great, I went on a trip a few years ago to Costa Rica, which I love. Like, in the world where I have all's the money, I have a house in Costa Rica. Like, in that fantasy, I have a house in Costa Rica. But on the trip, we were at the Ryu down there. It was a Bears trip. It was great. The Bears do, I think every team does one of these now. I don't know if the Bulls do. But I know the White Sox and Cubs do a fan trip through Apple Vacation. The Bears do a trip with 100 fans every year in usually like the end of February, early March to someplace tropical. And I went to Costa Rica, and the Ryu offered a day trip to Nicaragua. So it's, you know, a bordering country, and you go, and my wife and I were like, you know, a couple of hours, beautiful city called Granada, a couple of hours on the bus, and then a couple of hours in Nicaragua doesn't seem like enough time. So we decided that we were going to stay overnight, and then we kind of figured out our transportation back to Costa Rica. Costa Rica is like super laid back. Pura vida, man. It's a big surf place. They don't have a military. They do have police force, but they don't have a military. And we got to the Nicaraguan border, and it was just chaos at the border. Like, whatever you're thinking that the Nicaraguan border is like whatever's in your mind about the type of stuff that's going down once you cross into Nicaragua, you're probably right. But then we got inside to Nicaragua, and it was great. Lake Nicaragua is fantastic. It's an island lake. So there's like 100 little islands that there's schools on and people build houses on. And Granada is just beautiful. I don't know if I would ever do that trip via drive. Like, I would probably fly into Managua instead. But it's one of those things where you would never expect, like, oh, I'm going to have a good time in Nicaragua. And yet, I did.
It looks like Aruba and Costa Rica are about the same length away from the United States.
Costa Rica is, like, straight south. Like, from Chicago, like, it is straight south.
Yeah. Aruba is just north of Venezuela, a little further north than Costa Rica is, but a little further east.
Well, a lot further if we're talking about Venezuela.
So it's like just straight below Dominican Republic and Haiti.
See, I feel like if I'm going to go, I mean, I would check out Aruba, but I feel like if I'm that close to South America, I might have to go to Colombia.
You sure?
Well, Colombia is a little bit better these days. The place you don't want to go is Venezuela. And I got that straight from Ozzy Guillen. Because you know White Panther. Let's go to Venezuela!
Yeah, we got a former White Sox right fielder. Maglio Ordóñez is a mayor down there.
Yeah, he's a strong man. Let's call him what he is.
You'll be welcome.
Mags is a strong man
down there.
Square
number 30 down there. You'll be good.
Right. But I reached out to Ozzy and was like, hey, should we go to Venezuela? And Ozzy was like, no, you should not go to Venezuela right now. So shout out to Ozzy Guillen, Ozzy Jr., and Oni for that. Mad love. When it's cool for us to go, we'd love to go.
Where are you going? Barranquilla? Cartagena?
Cartagena?
Medellin?
Sure. Medellin is all brand new. these days, from what I've been reading. I mean, I don't know. Sandra Torres from CBS2. She's Colombian, right? Get her on the phone. Find out right now. Can we go to Colombia?
Call her up a guy, Jose Quintana.
Oh, that's right. We could ask Q. Does Q go home in the offseason? Because that's a telltale sign. If dudes don't go home, that means worried about some stuff. And Venezuela, I mean, politically right now, is just, I mean, maybe it's not fair for me as an American to say that Venezuela is messed up politically, considering that we're having our own strife and trying to get along and whatnot. Have I ever told you how I don't like the two-party system? They don't. I don't feel like it really encompasses the political spectrum of America. All right, now let's go out to Dixon and talk some U Darvish with Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on the score.
Hi. I was listening to you, and I've been a Sox fan my whole life, but I thought there are a lot of similarities between what's happening with U Darvish and what happened this season with Kawhi Leonard down in San Antonio.
Okay, well, that's an interesting comp. Well, what makes you – is it just because you're saying that he's saying one thing and the team is saying another as far as the injury goes?
Yeah, completely. It really seems like he's – like the team is saying he's ready, but the player is saying, like, no, I'm not. It seems like they're both not 100%, and that's really – they're not going out until they're sure they're ready.
Yeah, I do think that there, and I appreciate the phone call, Ryan. Thanks for holding on. I do think that there are guys who feel that way, and that at the risk of not sounding like a tough guy, I think that we should pay attention to that. Not everyone is wired the same. And there are guys in every sport that we would refer to as 100 percenters. That everything needs to be 100% for them to play their best. And I don't know if I don't know if we should kind of hold guys to the standard of you got to play through it. If you're asking a player who's uncomfortable playing through some of this stuff to play through it, I'm not sure you're going to get their best effort. It's a nuanced opinion. I get that. And I mean, I think that all of us have had those moments in whatever team sport we played at whatever level that you thought, okay, well, I can push through this. I think that in our everyday lives, we go through stuff like that. I think there are people with chronic pain who have to go through stuff like that to survive. Here's the question. If you didn't have to go through that, would you? I talk about this all the time. It is ingrained in us as a society to work. It's ingrained. I know it's ingrained in me. I have a really hard time relaxing, ever. I don't like being away from work for too long. When I go on vacation, it's difficult for me to relax. It usually takes me 2 or 3 days to just get to that, like, what I would call vacation, Lawrence. And that, I really like that guy. Like, he's great because he wants to walk around the city and try out new foods and all sorts of stuff. But usually after I reach that point, I panic. Like, let's say we go on vacation. Like, all of us go on vacation. I'm grumbling for the first 2 days. And then on day three, I'm zenned out. Like, yeah, man, whatever. Pura vida, man. Like, whatever you want to do. Day five, I'm nervous. Day five, I'm a problem because I'm antsy. I want to get home. I want to be on my couch. Like, we deal with this all the time in our everyday lives. This drive to work, you know, to try and get better, to make life easier for your family. What's really crazy about it is almost everyone within the sound of my voice would work harder so that someone else didn't have to. But we never, ever, ever do that for ourselves. Like, you, if someone told you that, you know, you get to build a nice life for your wife and your kids or your parents or your niece and your nephew, like, they don't have to work as hard, that they don't have to grind themselves into dust, you do it. And you're probably doing it every day. Those lottery fantasies are nice. Where you sit there and go, man, what if I won that $220 million? I'd be happy for like a week. I'd be like, yeah, woo! I'd be taking Herbie to dinner and stuff. We'd be like, steak dinner, boom, like all over the place. And then like a week later, I'd be like, so what am I going to do with this $200 million? Stud, you got some idea on this? What you do with the $200 million?
I do. I've thought a lot about this.
I'm okay. I'm interested.
So I would actually probably keep doing what I'm doing right now just because I like it.
I agree with you.
But I would probably tell Mitch and Brendan, hey, I'm thinking like 15 hours a week. You know, this is that kind of thing. No overnights. You know, give me some sweet spot stuff and I'm in.
Yeah. See, I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't come in here like the next day, like MFing everybody. Yeah. And be like, I'm out.
No, I would say, hey, I'm gonna take a couple weeks off, and I'll be back if you'll have me.
I would probably buy the score.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
But then, ooh. I mean, you know, then it's a whole nother level of problems.
Well, then you have to see if you're gonna do that. Then you have to. If I'm doing that, then I'm hiring people under me that are gonna do everything for me.
Oh yeah,
like, then I'm just the head guy,
right? I'm in Costa Rica if you need me.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
A lot of people are saying that they really dig Aruba. Okay, I'll put it on the list. You know what I've been thinking about doing, and I kind of wish I was doing it this weekend? I'm thinking about Mexico City. Can you imagine what Mexico City is going to be like on Monday? Dude, when's that game played in Mexico City time? Was that like a 7 a.m.? Kickoff between Mexico and Brazil. I'm kind of thinking Mexico City soon, but I might do that. I'm Aruba. All right, we seem to know people who can help us get to Aruba. Maybe I'll do Aruba. Crystal Blue Caribbean Sea. The only problem with Costa Rica is, you know, Lovey Smith had to fight off howler monkeys with a machete. And I haven't been to the Caribbean side of Costa Rica. I'd like to do that.
That Mexico-Brazil game. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
The Mexico-Brazil game is 9 a.m. Central. The Mexico City is on the same time as
us,
aren't
they? Are they
central?
Yeah, I thought that they were maybe mountain, but they're central.
It's either 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.
Do it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That whole country is going to be going banana pants.
Every time you say Aruba, I think about that Beach Boy song.
Do you then start thinking about Jamaica?
Yeah, and then Bermuda, Bahamas.
He was singing it earlier.
Do you then think about Key Largo, Montego?
Baby, why don't we go to the Kokomo? That's what Adam said. That's their best song. I was like, that's their only song that doesn't sound like their song.
I don't know if it's their best song. It's my favorite.
That's different.
Yeah, my favorite Beach Boys song. I don't think it's their best song. My favorite song.
I would say Good Vibrations.
They all sound the same. Good Vibrations, Barbara Ann, Surfing Now.
I love when they did that remix and they were like, it's such a good vibration.
Nice.
That wasn't them?
No.
Oh.
I don't like Kokomo because they had Uncle Jesse in it. You know Uncle Jesse? Full House?
Oh, I was thinking Uncle Jesse from the Dukes of Hazzard. Okay. I was like, he was in that?
John Stamos.
He is in it. But since, you know, we're talking about Good Vibrations, we should probably talk about Surf Dudes with Attitude, too.
Kind of grooving.
This show is so stupid.
Get off the rails at some point.
It's fine. If you're not down with the California dreams, man, I got nothing for you. Nothing. We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score. Glad that you're hanging out for what is a show that started off super serious and got off the rails, which is fun. We should be allowed to do that every now and again. The serious news, of course, is what's going on with Yu Darvish and him feeling pain after a bullpen session, not feeling right, and it doesn't look like he's going to re-enter the rotation this weekend, which a lot of people were thinking might be possible. We've been talking about that. At some point, we'll transition into talking a little bit about Sammy Sosa as well. I got some thoughts. I'd like to share some of yours. Talk about this. We've got a couple of guests that are going to join us to talk about some of this in an interview from earlier today that I think is worth playing maybe even before we jump into it. But we've also been talking about Aruba and Costa Rica and Mexico City. I want one person like, don't go to Mexico City. And then someone else is like, Mexico City is the greatest. I actually had a friend who was in Mexico City and said they had a great time. It's on the list. Here's the thing about me. This is the issue with, am I telling too much? This is an issue with me and my wife, okay? She likes, this is her idea of vacation. And I think she's probably got it right. Her idea of vacation is, we're going to go somewhere, there's going to be water and a beach and drinks, and that's all we're going to do for 5 days. That's it. We're going to get up, we're going to eat breakfast, we're going to go to the beach, we're going to drink on the beach, we're going to nap. That's vacation. I can't do that for too long. I get pensive. It drives me insane. I don't like not being connected to the world as much as I would think I would like not being connected to the world, which means that I like to go to cities. Give me, you know, if we go to, if we stay in the country, give me Miami. We can have a little bit of both. Although I do also, like, I am calmed by mountains. I've learned that about myself, which is why I end up in Phoenix a lot. Red Rock calms me. It really, truly does. But I'm desert. She's beach. It's hard to make that work on vacation. Rogers Park and Luke. Hey, Luke, you're on The Score.
Mr. Holmes, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Long-time listener, and I love your show. I love the way you break down statistics, too, bro. Number one in the business, hands down.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
All right, so I had one question initially, and then while I was listening, I got another one.
Okay.
So we know Lester, we know Quintana, and we know Hendricks are our workhorses, and they've been pitching well. Lester's been out of his mind. I think Quintana just needs to pitch and not try to be so selective on what he throws. Hendricks right now, little struggle, but I think he'll come around for the most part. My question was, instead of going out and finding somebody that's unfamiliar with our system, you know, I follow Lackey. He looks in good shape. He didn't officially announce that he was going to retire. And if we need somebody who's going to eat innings, wouldn't it make sense to just reach out to him to see if he'd be willing to take a role to eat up some innings?
When I saw your...
I mean, granted, he started last year bad, but towards the second half of the season, he was pretty much dominant.
Okay, so I don't think that it's a terrible idea. Here's the problem. John Lackey last pitched in October. I don't know if he's been out there. Like, I would imagine that he is enjoying the semi-retired life. I don't think that he is stretching. In my mind, John Lackey is in a tree blind somewhere right now, or on a lake fishing. or watching his kids play sports. I guess it wouldn't hurt to ask, how much are you doing? To pick up a phone and be like, hey, John, what are you up to, man? What's going on? What you doing? And being like, I got a long memory, and I'm not in any shape to pitch. And then moving on to someone who's actually pitching. I guess you kind of check all boxes, but, you know. Southside and William. Hey, William, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. The question I have is, at first I thought the Irish was psychosomatic, but now I see that injury is something serious. They should just set him down and get some more pitching through the trading deadline. What do you think?
Why? I don't think that you shut him down yet. I think that he's with the team today. I think you get him back here. You do some more tests. You have him do something again at the end of the week, or I guess the beginning of next week, and you see where he's at after that. I don't think that just because he felt pain today, you say, okay, shut him down. I think that if I were a betting man, I would bet on Darvish. Like, if the over-under on innings by Darvish is 40 and a third, I would go under for the rest of the season. But I don't think that if you're them, you just say, well, there needs to be more information that they need to get. Like Bruce said, is there a tear? Is this something that's related to the elbow? Is this just inflammation in the triceps? And would a little more rest allow him? Like, if you said, okay, you shut it down for 2 weeks, no pitching for 2 weeks, then let's try again right before the All-Star break and see where you're at. And maybe you come back and you pitch August and September for us. I don't know if you have to rush to shut him down, but I appreciate the idea. You know, we're being creative. We're trying to figure this out for the Cubs. Text messages that are rolling in. This text says, Aruba been to both there and Venezuela 25 years ago. Caracas was fun then, not so much now. Aruba has the clearest water I've ever seen. So if you scuba or snorkel, that's the place to go. By the way, Richie's class of 86. We thought of all you HF guys as bleeping prima donnas. And we thought of all you guys as poor wannabes. Have a nice night. They hate us because they ain't us.
Where's Richie's at?
Park Forest. Pofo.
That does sound poor.
I mean, things haven't been great. It's fine, though. I got love for all the people in the South Burbs.
I don't know why Rich East. Is it Richards East?
No, Rich Township.
Okay.
So that's, it's there's Rich East, there's Rich South, and Rich Central. It's all in the township.
So the name's automatic, like, originally, like, facetious.
No. I mean, I guess. Although back in the day, Rich Central, you know, Olympia Fields, you got some heavy hitters over there. But yeah, it's like Olympia Fields, Park Forest, Richton Park.
Didn't Kendall Gill go to one of those schools?
Yeah. Rich Central. And Craig Hodges went to Rich East.
Assalamu alaikum.
By the way, if you haven't read Craig Hodges' book, Long Shot, it's really interesting and very poignant considering the time that we're in. I'm going to try to get Craig on either on this show or on the podcast. I did a podcast with him a couple months ago, and it was illuminating. But his book, I think that you'll really enjoy it. It allowed me to do some fun stuff, too. Like, in reading the book and getting prepared for the podcast with Craig, I emailed back and forth with Terry because Terry covered, you know, him wearing the African garb to the White House and hand delivering the letter to the president. And I got to talk with Tim Hallam at the Bulls because he's the person who suggested the way that that would go. So it was fun to kind of hear their perspective on things. Texas says, Lawrence, you an HF guy? Me too. Class 2003. I am 20 years older than you. Congratulations. You went to a great, great place.
Yeah, you guys had like a pool, a radio station.
We had an auditorium.
I don't know what that is. That's just like a big pool?
It's not a pool. It's an auditorium.
Yeah, you guys are really rich. I thought I had the people at Wheaton had some money. We didn't even have a pool.
Herbie, you gotta understand what happened to me. I am a kid from Roseland. I am from 112th in Green. And then right before freshman year, my parents were like, we're moving to Homewood. I'm like, what's that? And then I went for registration at HF, and I was like, this is a school? My grammar school, my graduating class in grammar school had like 25 people in it. And now I'm at a school with 2,500 people. When they write my autobiography, I want Jordan Peele to play the grown-up version of me, like this guy right now. I want him to say, in the autobiography, in the movie, I want Jordan Peele to play me. That's how meta I want it to be. We'll talk with Ryan McGuffey, who was on that, or was supposed to be on that trip to the Dominican Republic to interview Sammy Sosa back in 2014. And he's got something else cool that you should check out for tomorrow. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.